This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon. Crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah! It's In the Conversation, yeah! It's In the Conversation, this is Damian Lemon. And as always, on my right-hand side, I got...
El Coronel, el Capitán, el Profesor, el Alcalde, el Comandante Vladimir Camaño.
Ah, shit. Mm-hmm. Straight out of Broom Closet Studios West. And on my left-hand side, I got...
You got the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad. I see you back to the yelling.
What's going on? Yeah, I mean, you know what? It was one of those moments.
No doubt.
It's, you know.
Feel like you're back.
I guess.
The real D Lemon is back.
All right, well, there it is. Maybe it was a clone.
No doubt.
What's going on with y'all?
He's back, man.
That's like a skinny Gucci and shit.
Hilarious.
Fat D is back.
Hilarious.
D,
damn.
D is back, man. He's back.
Oh, shit. Nah, man.
D, you okay? You sound great. What's going on, man? You took a little cup of coffee?
I'm chilling, I guess.
You sound energetic. You sound pumped.
I guess that fake enthusiasm got both of y'all. It was convincing. I'm an actor.
That's what they call it.
That's what it is. I had to summon it up.
No doubt.
Nah, I'm chilling, man. I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Everything cool.
We're doing good, man. We're talking about you right now. You sound great. What's going on?
Thank you. I feel all right.
Getting a little awkward now.
I'll let it go.
Ali,
keep going.
Ali, you see how he gets uncomfortable, right? He gets uncomfortable.
I mean, that's a little uncomfortable statement after you say it four times.
Yeah, I know.
You sound great. You sound great. Sound great, D. Hey, boy, you sound good.
How many times can you say thank you? Good look at that. You say thank you the same way four times. Thank you. Good look at that. Much appreciated.
Motherfucker, what you getting at, man?
Yeah, all right.
That's either you've been fucked up.
Yeah, damn.
And now you're doing good.
See, you're back on your feet, huh?
Or it's something fishy in the water.
It was some concern. Nah, I'm fine, man. I'm chilling. How y'all doing, though? How are y'all? Man,
you know what I'm saying? We awake and aware and trying to pay attention to what's happening in all these fights. It's new fights every week, like we talked about.
It is a new, it's definitely a new fight, a new protest.
A new boycott, a new everything, every area of the day.
Yeah.
It's like ping pong, man. Every time you wake up, it's another story, another new cycle coming up.
Another march to go to.
And they got y'all.
Yeah.
They got them on a string, buddy.
Yeah, the shit is starting to, I don't know if it's the zeitgeist or whatever, it's starting to feel like I got to do something. I got to be politically active.
No doubt.
And I got to figure out what my political activism is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try to say, well, you know, I talk about a little bit in my act.
Right, right.
We try to pass
your
it
voice,
off into
your
work.
Voice.
That's my voice. You know I'll lend that.
No doubt.
You know?
You start.
That's what cats always do when they ain't got no money for the cause. Listen, I'll lend my talents.
No doubt.
But that counts. But then it's like, what more can I do? I'm not really the marcher. I'm not Johnny in the marches, you know. I got to figure out what is another lane to display my activism, because I know me, I like to complain a lot. So if you can't complain with no action,
right.
So I'm trying to figure out what I could do so I could still bitch and moan. What have y'all been doing?
I think for me, man, I just find that this is really spurred. I mean, I've always been into this stuff, but it's really spurred a kind of a passion in me just to get more educated on what's going on.
Yes.
Like even at the policy level, like how policy works, how Congress works, how those midterm elections work. Just getting more educated to the nuts and bolts of how, you know, what the interests are on their side, you know?
Right.
Go ahead.
What are you doing to do that? Where are you going?
Just checking, like I've been reading up different news sources. Like I just bought a subscription to The Economist.
Okay.
Which is, you could say, more conservative, but they do a good job of providing evidence,
right.
And research. And then I also been watching Democracy Now.
Uh-huh.
And then also, just a glance at it, I have been reading up Fox News. I go on Fox News and I read their stuff too, you know?
Yeah. My lady turned that on too.
I've been just to get educated Twilight. On their side too, because I want to learn, because I think one of the mistakes liberals made is that we completely we completely kind of ignored that base that voted for Trump.
Right.
And we saw that in Hillary's campaign. You know, she never went to Michigan. She never rallied in some states.
And that's what always happened?
She ain't going to Michigan, to Detroit?
I mean, isn't that what always happened? One group gets alienated by the other one?
They ain't go to Flint?
Well, in the sense that a lot of people that voted for Obama this time just flipped the script and went over to Trump, you know?
Right.
A lot of those poor white voters. So the argument that I'm reading right now is that the liberal elite just completely forgot about that poor working class base that ended up voting for Trump.
Right.
So in terms of my education, I've been trying to read, like, what is it? Because it's very easy to just pander to our side, you know, like, oh, rah, rah, rah. But to get to read about, like, well, you know, what exactly was Bernie? Because Bernie was talking about that, too. Like, we got to reach out and embrace mm-hmm. that pocket of America.
Right.
So I've just been reading and educating myself on that side of the conversation so I can, because, you know, it's a lot of emotion right now, but it's always better when you speak from a place of reason and, you know, understanding.
Have you reached out to any poor white friends?
Well, the thing is, I'm still educating myself. Like, I was watching the SAG Awards, and, you know, I love the fact that everybody's getting political, but I find that a lot of those statements, they happen in an echo chamber. We're just preaching to people that already agree with our views.
That shit felt, I didn't even watch it. I saw like a little bit on the news. It felt a little too gimmicky. It felt a little produced. Like somebody was coming up to you with a clipboard. Well, hey, listen, when we go to the thing, this is what we suggest that you say. I don't know if you really feel like saying this. You know what I mean? Because I'm curious. I didn't see everybody, but it just looked, I'm not mad at the protest, but. Mm-hmm.
Neither am I.
It's a bit fashionable,
but exactly. But see, that show happened right at the time where it was hitting, where it was trending.
That's true.
Everybody was jumping on it. Everybody was in that conversation. He had just signed the order, and it was people was in action. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And as we talked about last week, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna be action.
It's gonna be action packed for years.
Action packed for 4 years because they're gonna keep pushing the buttons and keep pushing the people. And you say, what we doing? I mean, I haven't done nothing yet. You know what I'm saying? Because what I don't want to be, I don't want to be a reactivist. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. Just react with, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? Every time, because it's like, you know, let me really look at this shit. Let me look, see what, when you talk about the poor white voters and shit, what the fuck is my views? And who reaching out to me? Who right. fucking coming in my neighborhood and, you know what I'm saying?
Black man who
assessing my goddamn needs and shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? As I'm assessing everybody else's needs. Am I really focusing on the community that I live in? You know what I mean?
Right.
As well as the more global points of views. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? What am I doing? And like you said, where do I fit in this conversation?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's fair enough. Because what's going on, too, a lot of it, if you're getting your information via social media, you know, or it's already, the pot has been stirred a little bit.
Right.
The conversation starts as, look what Trump did now. You know what I mean? Here goes some more bullshit. Right. And a lot of it could be bullshit.
And you know what I'm saying?
But you can't spin yourself emotionally for 4 years. To your point, you got to kind of take a step back and find out, all right, now where do I fit in within all of this? How am I going to react? What is the information? What really happened?
Right.
What's the full story?
All right, so like let's take hashtag delete Uber. You know what I'm saying? Everybody is on that. Everybody,
did you delete Uber?
No, I haven't deleted shit. I told you I ain't did shit yet.
Right, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because, all right, you deleting Uber for what? Because they kept taking passengers from the airport while the protest was going on. That's where it started, right?
Well, like,
then the guy joined Trump's advisory council. Okay. Whatever, right?
Yeah.
The CEO joined the advisory council, and they kept taking passengers during the protest while the taxi commission stopped.
And they dropped the surge prices.
They dropped the surge prices.
Right.
But the taxi commission said, hey, we're not going to service JFK while the protest is going on to stand in solidarity
right.
with the protesters
right.
and the refugees and, you know, the immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
Uber said, fuck it, we're going to keep on picking up people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Not only are we going to keep on picking up people, but, like, I feel like it's one thing to be out there just picking up people, but then they dropped the surge on it, too.
They took the surge off.
Took the surge off.
Right, well, so they didn't charge surge pricing when they would have normally.
Okay.
So, but they were like, well, you dropping surge price, but why are you still breaking the strike, kind of? Like, why are you, you know what I'm saying, breaking the line of the protest?
Which is one point is they're not even in the TLC in the first place.
Right.
So it ain't like they scabs.
Right.
But keep going.
But, okay, nah, I get that. But right. That ain't enough for me at that point. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because if I was getting off the motherfucking plane.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm trying to get to home and I'm trying to get to wherever the fuck I'm going.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to need a motherfucking ride, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The air train down.
Right.
No cabs. How the fuck I'm getting home, man?
Uh-huh.
You know? So, I mean, I wasn't totally sold on that boycott. And then everybody's saying, all right, let's do Lyft. But then you look at Lyft, and their major investors are all on Trump's. And Peter Thiel was just one of his main advisors. Is one of their main investors, Carl Icahn, or however you pronounce his last name.
Right.
He put $100 million into Lyft.
Right.
So who doing the pushing? And who, you know what I'm saying? Like, so am I going from Uber to Lyft, and then I'm putting money in their pockets?
Right.
Or am I, what, I'm not doing nothing, and I'm just going with the cabs, and then I get passed up on the street as a black man, can't get a cab?
Right.
So what the fuck? Where my interests? Where do my interests come into play?
The dilemma.
You know what I'm saying?
The dilemma.
Or do I just walk and shit?
Did you? Well,
you know what I'm saying? When the protest's over, the 90 days of the immigration shit is over, am right. I still walking? Or am well, I, so do I re-download I, Uber and shit?
So Ali, I didn't even know that. So Peter Thiel is on the. He's one of the investors of Lyft.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
This is my thing. It's a little bit of it was unclear. A couple things was unclear about this whole Uber thing, and I don't even know how far it goes with the Lyft thing, because I didn't even explore that. But with Uber, I've been reading a couple, and obviously these are press releases, and a lot of the stuff is you know, they're not going to give you the full thing, but it seemed as though the guy who everybody's upset that he's on the advisory board for
mm-hmm.
Trump
mm-hmm.
said he did the same thing with Obama.
Right.
He said, like, I'm going to advise Trump just like I was advising Obama. Now, right. I don't know how deep or, you know what I mean, how hands-on, if it's the same capacity,
right.
If it's just one of these rollover type of deals,
right.
Where it's like, I'm just talking to the president, you yeah. know what I mean? Who? That's one.
Mm-hmm.
two, I tried to delete Uber. I said a friend of mine tried to delete Uber,
mm-hmm.
and was pressing the shit. Couldn't delete it. Couldn't delete it. You would delete it. They say, yo, why you want to delete it? And he was like, yo, because Trump is anti-Islam and I can't support that. That's what he felt. And they were like,
Trump don't work for Uber.
So that's but that's what he sent in.
Right.
And that shit just was sent in. Nothing happened. It was no next screen to be like, you have been deleted from Uber. Right. And it go back. And then he tried to press the button to delete again. And the transcript of what he just said comes up.
Right.
So it gives him the opportunity to say some more shit. Says it again. However, Uber is not deleted.
Right.
So I don't know what's going on.
I mean, they trying to protect their neck. I mean, I think one of the main things, the problem that people have with Uber, and they've been had it before, even this Trump shit, is this how aggressively corporate they are becoming. And how they are, you know what I'm saying, stonewalling competition and doing things to increase their market share and block out other competitors, which, you know what I'm saying, most big companies do. So when I see the movement delete Uber, which is coming, you know, basically a grassroots effort, but then I see Lyft going, hey, we're going to go give $1 million to the, you know right. what I'm saying?
ACLU.
Yeah, so they trying to take advantage of the whole situation
right.
In the same way that Uber's taking advantage, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then you start looking at, that's what the conspiracy went off in my head. You know, I be on that sometimes.
Sometimes.
I'm like, hold up, let me see who the fuck is, you know what I'm saying, down with this right. Lyft shit.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know what I'm saying, some of Trump's real homies that's really in his, you know what I'm saying, cabinet
right.
is major supporters of Lyft.
Right.
So, I mean, come on, man. Then, I don't want to be, like I said, I don't want to be a reactivist. I just want to, you know what I'm saying, understand where the fuck I fall.
Well, hold on. Vlad, let me ask you real quick before you go to your next thing, because you are the most Uberist of the three of us. Did you delete Uber?
Well, no, what I was going to answer the thing was the then, what I'm saying is then Lyft followed up. I'm going to answer that question, but then Lyft followed up saying they're going to donate $1 million to the American Civil Liberties Union.
Right.
Over the span of four years. Something like that?
4 years.
Why they ain't so, do it before the hashtag?
I know.
It didn't matter. I know. It's all about timing. You're going to donate $1 million. You know that's like tipping when somebody's looking the other way. Fuck that. Wait a minute. Turn around.
Right. So look at that. What I did was, because I was trying to get information, what I did was I did a temporary boycott on Uber the day of, and I've been using Lyft since then.
Okay.
But I have not used Uber since because I've been trying to get information. Mm.
Cheeto Satan is smiling at you. Go ahead, Vlad.
So I'm not, I haven't deleted it yet, but I also haven't used it.
Right. Yeah. I haven't used it since the boycott, but you know what I'm saying? If I need a ride, goddamn, I'm going to pick a ride and I'm going to ride.
You going to fuck with Uber?
I'm going to fuck with something. I'm gonna fuck with, you know what I'm saying? Right now, Uber is my ride of choice. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, you know, I'm watching the situation closely.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? I don't support the immigration ban.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But while everybody's up in arms, this shit ain't motherfucking new. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I'm a U.S. citizen named Ali Muhammad, and every time I come back to the USA, I'm detained and fucking interrogated. Every single time.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? Fucking time.
You get detained?
That's the only time I didn't get detained.
They saw you was out.
They saw he was out.
They was like, nah, don't disturb
and
that.
And it was almost like the opposite. I was coming down the line, and then the machine gun man told me to go to the other side. I'm like, oh, shit, here we go. And then, you know what I'm saying, I had that, oh, shit, here we go face. Like, right. Oh, this is my, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I've been up all week, and here I come back home, and it's some bullshit. And then he sent me to a line that was totally clear. I didn't even have to stand in line to get out. So I was like, ooh, that's sweet.
Different.
But I'm sure that's over now.
Hilarious.
With this new shit. But, you know what I'm saying, they talking about, you know, people being detained and, you know what I'm saying, protecting the borders. And, you know what I'm saying, and you know, it's different when it's a ban, when they send you back. But when you a citizen, you still got to go through it. And you got to sit there 2-3 hours, you know what I'm saying, waiting to be questioned and to where you born and you know what I'm saying, all that shit. Nobody protesting for you and shit. You just in there with motherfucker by yourself.
Yeah.
You don't come out with Reverend Al and all them ain't out there waiting on you and shit to pick your bags up and shit when you get out.
You need more people.
You need more people and shit, huh?
Dolo, yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Well, like, not to take nothing away from what's going on, but this shit ain't new. And it ain't, you know what I'm saying? It ain't just come because Trump signed that order. That shit was, you know what I'm saying? It's just naming specific places now. You know what I'm saying? Which changed probably from the specific places that they had on there before.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think I want to add two things. One is, like, the news is in a particular context right now because optics matter, but they matter even more now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the news, no matter what happens, they got to report it. And then based on that, you got to take a side. And then within minutes, people start taking sides, like the Uber thing, right? Like, the minute it was posted, everyone had, you got to take a side immediately.
Right.
Wait, are you saying the news needs to take a side or the people watching the news?
No, because how inflammatory the current climate is,
right?
The news is in a weird situation where every piece of information they publish gets almost scandalized, even if it's a neutral, just information posting.
Hmm.
Like, if they put information out saying Trump does X, it's already inflamed on both sides. The liberal side is going to go, he's doing this, and then the conservative side is going to go, he's fighting for our people, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like the climate of the news right now, it's in a weird place. You have Trump saying that the news is the opposition party.
Mm-hmm. Which is crazy.
You know, Steve Bannon said that. He said it's the opposition party. And then on the liberal side, they're saying, no, we're holding you in check.
Yeah.
Right.
So anytime information is posted, it becomes inflammatory by its very nature now.
Well, that's been for a while, though. The news has had a narrative for a moment. The fact that you said went over to Fox News to see what they were thinking shows that there's a narrative.
Right.
It shows that if you go over to MSNBC, it's leaning left. You go to Fox, it's going right.
Right.
Back in the day, the news was the news. This is what happened.
Right.
Y'all figure out how you feel about it. I'm not going to tell you how to feel.
Right.
Now the news is like, yo, this is what happened, and this is how you should feel about that shit,
and
which is problematic.
And they telling us, you know what I'm saying? And all of those people, they're saying that's ignored. You know what I'm saying? They are pushing, hey, you've been ignored. Rise up.
Right.
And then over here, you know what I'm saying? It's just crazy. So you have to really... You know what I'm saying? Not to not take a side or not to be active, because that's not the point. The point is okay, I don't want to spin my wheels in the wrong direction. You know what I'm saying? When it's counter to what the fuck I'm trying to do and what my community is trying to do.
I think also what's pissing people off is, you know, to Ali's point, the stigma towards, you know, people of Muslim faith has been there for a while. I think what's also pissing people off is Trump's disrespectful process.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he didn't alert the attorney general of his ban to say, hey, I'm going to put this ban on. What do you think? He just put that out.
This is the thing. We gotta act. We can't be surprised at this point.
No, but that's what I mean. Like, so it's the ban is one thing, but it's also a disrespectful process.
No, but what I'm saying is Trump has been disrespectful the entire process.
Right.
So this isn't nothing new. This is that Trump gave people his ass to kiss all the way to the White House.
No, but that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Like, even if you don't agree with whether the ban has always been there or hasn't been there, people are upset because this motherfucker is basically saying, I'm going to put a ban without telling anybody.
Right.
Well, who upset, though? These new people upset, or everybody upset?
Well, I mean, a lot of people. I mean, you know
what I'm saying? But
at every airport.
Right. I mean, it's folks at every airport. But then last week, he tried to kill abortions and shit. So, see what I'm saying? We forgot about that. We forgot about all the other shit. You know what I mean?
Well, no, that was the global gag rule, which typically most Republicans try to flip when they come into office anyway.
I understand, but do we forget about one? Do we forget about the immigration bill next week when it's a new executive order? You know what I'm saying? Do we forget about, you know what I'm saying, people getting shot by the police in the hood? You know what I'm saying? Do we forget about all of the other things that's going on every time something else goes on? You know what I'm saying? Do these same people that's marching at the airport come march when, you know what I'm saying, when the next dude get choked out by the police for no reason?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Is that what we fight for? Are we fighting for everybody's liberty, or are we fighting specifically for what affects whoever is the person that's involved?
I think the fight should be the process of government, the way he's handling. Like, he was talking about sending the feds into Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And see,
with no respect for process. Like,
anybody, where's the global marches for that shit? It ain't gonna be none.
Right. So what I'm saying is, we have to check them on process. Like, yo, shit has a process. You can't just say I'm gonna send the feds in Chicago. Where's the process at?
You can say whatever you want, I suppose.
You know what I mean? Like, he's disrespecting the way the process of government, the way it's supposed to be done, so that everyone's informed and does it in a way where, like, everyone can be educated on what's going to happen and what the consequences are.
Yeah, but see what, Vlad, you know what I'm saying? They send the feds in when they want to, man. They send them in how they want, when they want, and when they send them in on people that the global community or the press and the media don't care about, it ain't no thought about it. You know what I'm saying? I've seen the feds come into a city and shut down a whole fucking situation quick.
But typically, it's the state that asks for the feds. I think in this situation, the state hasn't even reached out to Trump, and Trump is like, "Well, fuck it," because I think he said it in response to what's my man's name? They used to be down with Obama, Rahm Emanuel.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think Rahm Emanuel had criticized Trump, because that's how it always starts. Mm-hmm. You say something about Trump, you criticize him in any fashion, he's coming for you. He was like, oh, you going to criticize me, Rahm Emanuel? Mm-hmm. You don't even have your city in check.
Right.
Don't make me send the feds. Because I think that's how it really came across.
Right.
I'll send the feds if you don't get that carnage in order.
Which is battle rap, basically.
And see, that don't have nothing to do with the city or the people. You know what I'm saying? And that's how a lot of this shit, like all this shit we marching and boycotting and shit, a lot of times these people ain't thinking about the people, man.
What people? Who are you thinking about?
The people.
About?
When he says send the feds into Chicago, he's not thinking about the people who are actually affected by the carnage, as he says.
Right.
He's not thinking about, you know what I'm saying?
It's an act.
The kids who got to walk to school in the middle of the shit. He's not thinking about that shit. He thinking about what Ron Emanuel said.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Petty.
It's petty, but it's playing way over the top. It's not connected to the ground. It's not connected to what's something real.
This shit is interesting. This is like, we always talk about terrorism, but what happens when the president becomes a terrorist? Because this president is on some other shit, man. This is wild.
Yeah, and I think that's what the protests are about. The protests are like, every time you try to enact something without due process, like, you know, we're going to check you.
I want to see the stamina of the protest. I hope it is just as strident and as committed as Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is going to be actively doing dumb shit for these these next 4 years.
These new activists, bro, they got a little more resources than the old activists.
We're gonna see. You know what I'm
saying? Hey, that's a different breed of them.
We're gonna see. I hope so, man. Anyway,
it's a term for it. It's called resistance fatigue.
Resistant to what?
Fatigue.
Resistance fatigue. It's been coined, actually. It's like that they say that's what Trump is hoping for, that we get so tired of resisting that he just gets things through.
This is the point that I'm making, is that they pushing so much shit out there that y'all resisting that they already getting through what the fuck they want to get through. Anyway, why y'all fighting immigration? Yeah, it's going to be the lesser of two evils, how they deal with, you know what I'm saying, Trump and Hillary. It's going to be, do I want to fight police violence, or do I want to fight this immigration bill? Do we want abortion or... Go ahead.
The thing is, too, it's two things. One is, like, what people are saying now, too, is that the Republicans need to have an ethical stance on some things, like the way John McCain is doing now. And apparently, the State Department has gotten 1,000 signatures internally of people that are disagreeing with Trump. And then that's when the Sean Spicer said that if you're not in with the program, you need to get out. Mm. You know, but this is 1,000 signatures from people within the State Department going, yo, we don't agree with this ban. Like, yeah. I don't think this has ever happened within 10 days of someone taking office.
I mean, see, this is the thing. I'm curious to see how this all goes on. Yeah, it's definitely an explosive 10 days. He's doing some wild shit, but he's been wild the whole trip. So I'm not excusing it, but I'm just saying people don't be surprised by how wild it is. And then the other thing is, I'm still not surprised by how crazy shit is. I remember, if we just talking about people just taking liberties and bogarting their way through, I remember fucking Bloomberg said, yo, I'm going to be the fucking mayor for a whole nother term. Mm-hmm. This has never been done before, but I feel like keeping this job, so I'm going to do that. And right. Y'all just eat that. And New York City ate that shit. Well,
they went through the process of it. They did it by the book, but it was audacious and bold.
What was by the book about it?
I don't really know the rules, but they didn't, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't illegal what they did. He enacted some rare shit that I remember when it was going on. Like, wait, how the fuck could he do that?
Right.
But it's actually something in the, you know what I'm saying, in the bylaws of the motherfucking rules that you could break the rules.
It's the billionaire handbook.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? If you got the wherewithal to motherfucking... To go through the motions to get it done, and people back behind you and support you.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
They got it done.
We'll see.
And did a whole nother term.
Yeah, yeah. So they might have to get some protest energy drinks and bars out there to combat this protest fatigue, because it's going to be a lot of shit. It's going to be a lot. Anyway.
Yeah, man.
What else is going on, Vlad? What's popping with you, man?
I was at the store yesterday, Shoe Palace in Los Angeles. And I was just taking a walk, got a cup of coffee, took a walk. You know, it was like 72 degrees out here.
Taking a lovely stroll.
You know what I mean? It's like 70 right now.
Okay, all right.
That don't mean nothing to us, man. We fully embrace the
winter
now. We good.
We chilling. It's nice snow out here. It's good shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Go ahead,
buddy. They got a t-shirt on. I can't even remember.
Okay, that's cool.
And I walked out, and they had the pennies, the blue royal blue pennies.
Yeah,
which I wanted to cop since high school. They were going for $220.
Right.
And for the first time in a while, the salesperson said, "You gonna take them?" And I was like, "I'm gonna hold on them."
Right.
And it was a moment in my shoe buying career that I've actually said no, and it was interesting. So I came home and I'm like, have I left the addiction?
So what's next?
So that was that happened.
If you don't buy the sneakers, what are you putting on your feet now?
Well, that's the thing. I have more shoes than I think I can wear. That's the problem now.
Right,
you call it now.
So it was like, I looked at my closet and I was like, man, I don't need that one. Because you start to convince yourself, like, yeah, I got to have that shoe, you know?
Right.
And I said no for the first time. So that was a big deal, man. Like,
what made you say, let me ask you this. What made you say no? Was it one, the fact that you got more shoes than you could wear? Or, and let's be honest, was it that $220 price tag as well?
You know what? You know what was it? I'll be honest with you. I also have the Ben Gordons.
What are the Ben Gordons?
The Ben Gordons are basically Their phone posits, they're all blue. They got the black Nike check on the side, though.
Okay. So like a flip of the same thing.
They're like a flip of the same thing. The pennies are better, obviously. They are better.
Wow.
But these are a flip on them. So I was like, I have something comparable to it.
Okay.
So I was like, let me fall back.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, I even
said no on the Chinese New Year once too. The Chinese New Year 12s came out on Saturday.
Okay.
So I've been saying no. I thought you guys would like to know that I've been saying
I hear
no,
you.
Man.
It feels good. It feels weird.
Yeah. Yeah. You feel man. Like a grown up. Like, all right, yeah, I'm good.
You don't need all that shit. Cause you ain't gonna do it. You just like, damn, dog, I done bought this shit. I ain't never gonna wear this shit.
I ain't never gonna wear it.
You fucking hoarding. Because you don't want to be without it, just in case, you know? At least you didn't fake it, though. At least you didn't buy it, take photos, put it on the gram, and then return it. Because that's the loophole.
Oh, that's the loop. Serious?
Yeah,
cats do that?
This cat's out there playing dirty.
Oh.
Don't do that.
What is your vision for your foot?
So basically, just to have enough sneakers that I could pull off different styles and outfits, like blue, you got a red sneaker, you got a sneaker with a little gold on it. And I have everything I need to create any kind of outfit that I could possibly come up with.
Right.
So that's the vision of it. Like I got the Concords, I got the blue ones, I got the Carolina blues, I got the Dorenbacher, different in red and black. So like I have enough colors in my roster that I could manipulate.
What you wearing with them gold sneakers?
With the gold ones, you could rock that with a white shirt, a black shirt. You kind of got to have like a neutral top. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm saying like, too crazy for me, you know what I'm saying? I'm a little growner than y'all a little bit. And
he said that shit like he was better.
No. Actually, that don't count as, they don't get no credit for that.
Okay.
Out in the world of swag, don't, you know what I mean? But when it switched for me, it's like, you know what I'm saying? I just wanted a different style for my foot. You know what I'm saying? Like as far as like a bulky sneaker, it stopped looking, you know what I'm saying, how I wanted to look,
right.
You know what I mean? So out of, like I said, with the Jordans, like right now I'm leaning more in my sneaker game more to a casual, laid-back type of style, you know what I'm saying? So
right. So
I love the silhouette of the one, so I keep a one around, you know what I'm saying? Out of the other ones, you know what I'm saying, only ones that I really want now is a black and gray, what's that, four.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think that'll be my bulkiest move.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I'm more like on a you know what I'm saying, slim silhouette. Yeah,
right.
Slim silhouette. You know what I mean?
Dig it.
So it's not a lot of, you know what I'm saying, hype beast shoes that fall in that department in the Jordan space. Or I mean, if you know, you just put me on.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I think you just got to. I hear you on that. I hear you on, especially. In particular, with foam posits
I never have been. I never been in a foam. That was always too space moon boot for me.
It's a lot. I got one pair of foams I got up for the free, and but you do feel like a young motherfucker with a pair of foams. So they super big. They are super big. The big thing about the foam, though, and this appeals to the cheap guy in me that I'm trying to exercise, is the thing about the foam is them shits is durable.
Right.
All
you got to do is wipe that shit down one time.
Wipe that down.
And you are right back in the game. The foam is the shoe that keeps giving.
No,
it's a big ass shoe, but you can wear that shit forever and ever.
Right.
Does not crease.
Nah, it's fucking armor for your foot.
Right.
Yeah, but I hear you on a lighter foot move, because I was just wearing a pair of Tims the other day. You forget how fucking heavy Tims are.
Right.
Felt like I was doing legs. This is ridiculous. Just to go up
hilarious.
The stairs.
It's hilarious. Yeah. Like I was doing legs.
This is ridiculous. Big ass for what?
Heavy, like I was doing legs.
Heavy ass Tims.
It's just, you know what I'm saying, just when your style switch, you know what I'm saying, it's kind of like you start switching your footwear with it. Not that I'm in the foot. I haven't been in that game in a minute. You know, once you got kids, that shit kind of over. Unless you getting it, you know what I mean?
Do you take chances, both of y'all? Do y'all take chances with your style?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I do too, yeah. I have lately, yeah.
Every major switch in my style came from one chance take. And then once you do it, it's like, okay, this wasn't as bad as I thought.
What was the last chance y'all took, stylistically?
What did I do? I told you when I went to Montreal, I put on those salmon pants.
That was the last big style
jump. Yeah, and also I've been wearing less baggy jeans. I've been wearing more fitted jeans.
Uh-huh.
Not skinny jeans, but just more fitted.
A little better around the ankle? Look better?
A little bit around the ankle. That was a big leap for me because, you know, I was...
Ankle, big...
Loose, like baggy jeans were the thing for me. Now I got a more fitted profile.
Right. What about you?
My I guess last year when I got that the wizard look was the big style chance.
Uh-huh. The wizard.
I call it the wizard look when I have on that long. It's a G-Star shirt, but it's a long shirt. It almost fit like a trench coat.
Okay.
Because it's long. So, uh-huh. But when I once wore it, I realized the benefits of it, especially when you're shooting, because, right. Like, when you bend over, you don't get the plumber's crack and all that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? It just offers you a lot of benefits and mobility when you're shooting. You're like how artists would wear a smock or some shit like that.
Right.
That's what it becomes.
Functional.
It's functional. You know what I mean? So, in that, you know what I'm saying, I started looking at other outfits that I'm wearing or buying in the similar vein of, you know what I mean, not functionality, but just, you know, more avant-garde-ness, but not too far. I don't want to go too far with that shit. But, you know what I'm saying? Then the next major leap was when I had to get glasses.
Okay.
Last year.
Okay.
So when you put on your glasses and shit and you become like a whole nother motherfucker that you wasn't before. And then I knew I didn't want to go with your IT guy glasses.
What are the IT guy glasses? What are those?
Just like, you know what I'm saying? Just like a thin frame. Just like
metal frame? Wire?
Like a wire. Or like a no frame or a thin frame. Just like a...
That's the IT?
I mean, just like I'm going to work, guys. You know what I'm saying? I knew I didn't want that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I knew I couldn't just go to a random, you know...
Right.
And then I didn't want to go as far as to have the nerd look glasses.
With the thick?
The thick, you know what I'm saying? Everybody, it was a moment for a while. Everybody was rocking the thick frame, basically more nerd type of glasses.
Mm.
So I had to find something that was kind of cool, but you know what I'm saying, and that you know what I'm saying, wasn't too far out there, but then wasn't too regular.
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? So in doing so, it changes your whole face. It changes,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It changes the way people look at you. It changes everything because now you had to wear this fucking thing on your face pretty much every day. So that switches, okay, all right, the types of hat that I'm going to wear.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's hard to wear a fucking brim, you know what I'm saying, and glasses and shit for me.
Because they hit each other? It just
look weird. It's just like it needs some type of, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It just look weird on me, to me. So stop wearing my, you know, snapbacks and fitteds because it's like, you know what I'm saying, it don't look right to me.
I can dig
with
it.
The glasses that I got. You know, it's just to me. You know, so I see people that pull it off, but on me it didn't look right.
And have you noticed that it's changed the reception that you get in the world?
It changed everything. Uh-huh. It was similar to when my last biggest style switch before that was letting my hair just hang wild, just be crazy.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And that was a mistake. It was like, you know what I'm saying, one summer I was just in the grind. I didn't, you know, get no cut.
Uh-huh.
And then motherfuckers started saying, hey, I like that.
You're an artiste.
Like, yeah, I like that. Since I let that shit grow out, I've made so much more money than I made before when I was just a regular, just getting a little Caesar.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Caesar in the beard. That dude.
That wasn't yielding the same.
That wasn't yielding the same results.
Interesting.
When I just let the hair go crazy, it was like, hey, I like that.
This guy's a free spirit.
You got that four times in a row. I'm like, I'm gonna let this fly.
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's become part of the whole switch, and it was something that I wouldn't have done.
Well, you know, speaking of switching and things that I wouldn't have done, I never thought about getting food delivered to me.
Yes, you have.
I never thought about it. I might have thought about it, but I never thought about getting food that I had to prepare delivered to me. I thought about maybe getting a Blue Apron a few times, but then, like I said, I got Blue Apron last week.
And now you're the ambassador.
That shit's official. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I got it again this week. It was fantastic. This week I had, what did we have? I had came with three meals. What was the first meal? What the hell did we just have? That shit was banging too. It was that good that I can't remember. Oh, it was a linguine. Mm-hmm. It was a bucatini, I believe,
what
which
the
I like
hell
to
is
say.
A bucatini.
Bucatini, but like a linguine. But they call it a bucatini.
Yeah, that's some shit. That's
sounds smooth,
you know,
right?
Saying fly shit.
It sounds like some fly shit. It's a bucatini. With Meyer lemon zest, with we had a radish and some type of lettuce salad on the side. Mm-hmm. This is the thing I like about Blue Apron. This is the thing, and then I'm going to read what they tell me to say. This is the thing I like about Blue Apron, though. Just like style, just like certain things, you could get caught up in a comfort zone. You know what I mean? Especially when it comes to what? Damn, I'm hungry. You know what I mean? You got your little limited menu of options that you could cook. Then you got your little limited menu of things that you could order from, and that kind of becomes the circle of your cuisine. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you don't really get to see other things. Right. Now, when you're dealing with Blue Apron, it challenges you to go a little broader. You know, like, I never zested Meyer lemon over linguine before. I never did that before. A bucatini. Never even had a bucatini.
That sounds like a cute girlfriend. Yeah, I just met me a little bucatini boy.
Bucatini. Shout out to bucatini. But, like, even radish. Like, I see radish in the grocery store for years. I walk right by that shit. I never knew what the fuck. I knew what it was.
Right.
I didn't really understand what it tasted like. I might have encountered it every so often at a salad bar. Mm. But I ain't never know what to do in my world with a radish.
Right.
But Blue Apron brought radishes to my world.
Did it change your world?
A little bit. A little bit. Right. It inspired me to do better.
All right.
You know, to explore further. But now this is what we got to read. Check out this week's menu for your first three meals free. You'll get three meals free and free shipping by going to blueapron.com/conversation. That's us in the conversation. And you'll get three free meals free. You'll love how good it tastes. It feels. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/conversation. Blue Apron. A better way to cook. I always like when they do this. So you know it was a real read.
No doubt.
That's that real live shit. There you go.
Yeah.
There it is.
Even though I ain't read it.
No, you didn't, but it's all right.
No doubt. What else cracked?
Oh, shit. How about that BET movie, New Edition on BET?
I haven't seen it, but I've seen it. You know what I'm saying? I don't have cable, man.
Seen it by the memes?
I've seen it by the memes, by the social media. No, I didn't get the Fire Stick yet. I didn't get the Fire Stick yet. So I haven't actually seen it.
So you ain't get to partake in this week's Black Culture moment.
Nah, I just got I got the view from afar. You know what I'm saying? I got to see everybody be involved. It's good to see.
From afar?
No, it's good. You know what I'm saying? Just from being like a long-time Twitter user from back in the day, like a 2007 Twitter. BET caught hell for years. I'm talking about for years upon years. They became the EBT Awards.
And, right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like people just did not appreciate BET
right.
at all. Like they, no matter how hard they tried, no matter how much good content they give you, right. no matter how many black people they brought that don't get no burn, no way else.
Right.
They just got no appreciation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's good to see like something that BET produced be as celebrated as this damn New Edition movie.
Yeah. It felt good. It was like BET was back. Vlad, did you see it? No.
I don't like music.
We know that.
No, I don't have cable, so I didn't watch it.
Would you have watched the New Edition movie, Vlad?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know about New Edition?
I know of them.
Right. So
you know, was I a fan? No. Again, I grew up in a predominantly Spanish speaking household. New Edition wasn't really on the record.
It was more of a Menudo fan.
No doubt.
Fucking with Menudo.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of New Edition, but
no doubt.
I did realize it was you spent a couple moments on Twitter, you realize it was a cultural moment, though.
Right. It was important. New Edition was important to the culture.
You know, I talked to D endlessly, and like, what is still to this day, one of his favorite movies is The Temptations. Am I right, D?
You talk about The Five Heartbeats.
The Five Heartbeats, sorry. I messed it up.
Yeah.
So definitely. There's certain movies that have a cultural impact, and I think this was one of them. So,
it was three days in a row, so that's like, you know what I'm saying? That's crazy. And New Edition, you know, they deserve it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? New Edition gave you, like, they hit right at a time when I was, you know what I'm saying, just about to get interested in girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? All the girls was liking on New Edition. They gave you a few little kitty words that you could, you know what I'm saying, incorporate into your thinking, like, okay, shit, Mr. Telephone Man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it's they were there, like, in the, those moments. So, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't the big R&B guy, but New Edition, even New Edition played the hip-hop shows. So if you go to Fresh Fest, like, New Edition was there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you, like, if you be the Fat Boys, Run DMC, and New Edition. Like, they was part of the culture.
It was oftentimes New Edition was taking the hip-hop people on tour because they were the big act. And they would bring a lot of hip-hop rappers. I mean, a lot of rappers were packaged with New Edition.
So it was like you were able to be exposed to them, even though if you wasn't into, like, the, you know, R&B scene, they were right there where you was at.
It was one of those things, I remember that. Again, I wasn't an R&B guy growing up. You know, I think most dudes, I mean, you could be an R&B guy as a kid, but that's kind of rare. It's a special type of motherfucker to be like an R&B.
No, it was some R&B cats now.
But it's a special type of motherfucker that's like an R&B young buck.
Right.
They out there, but it's a different type of thing.
I think you might be underestimating R&B dude.
Listen, I'm talking... I hear you, and maybe I am, but I just know from what I was, like, people that were, like, really into R&B, like, back in the day, I'm just going to speak ignorantly for what I felt. This is how I felt.
All right, now you're on to something.
New Edition was one of those groups you seen, I mean, one, I was a little young when they like, was in a full stride,
right?
You know? But they affect, you've seen their effect on women and girls, like, you've seen it. Mm-hmm. And you've seen immediately, oh, shit, they resonate. Girls like them. Like, girls, they would get excited. Right. You know what I mean? Dudes knew who they were. Oh, shit, that's New Edition. They popping. But, and it was the songs was, you know, fucking Mr. Telephone Man, all, you know, Candy Girl, all that shit. Right. Shit was all over the radio and all of that. But as I recognized later on, and what I'm saying is, I never paid that much attention. Like, when I watched the movie, I found out things like, oh, yeah, Ralph always sang lead. Like, I didn't know this type of shit. I didn't even know, like, when, unless I go Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and my, I forget about Ricky Bell. Like, I don't think, like, you know what I mean? Like, I know the locks.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you was a hip-hop cat.
I was a hip-hop cat.
Right.
And even when I was growing up, cats that was around me was like hip hop. If you was an R&B cat, you either had to be you was either very sensitive, very sensitive, very smooth. Like, you was of, like, you emoted this R&B vibe about you. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause I know I got friends of mine that were just, they were R&B cats. They were smooth since early. Or they was just very, like, sensitive, tender, like, poignant with what they felt. Like,
and,
you know
and
what
a,
I mean?
And a lot of player cats was, like, that's what in I'm the saying. R&B. Like, that's you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, cats who was really, like, you know what I'm saying, back in elementary, junior high, like junior high, the cats who was really fucking was R&B.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But like, it was not a lot of
all of hip hop. We was around each other doing hip hop shit.
Doing too much. You know, extra shit.
R&B cats would break off and go over their little girlfriend house and listen to some R&B and be really doing something.
A lot of R&B cats like might have had a car. Like they were living like adults as kids. Cause R&B was very much, this is back in like the baby making. This was about fucking.
Right.
This wasn't like R&B was about knocking it. R&B was very about a grind. R&B wasn't a, you know what I mean? It was very sensual.
And see, in my era, it might have been a little bit before yours.
Go ahead.
You had to incorporate a little R&B into you if you was going to be on trying to holler at something. Because the slow drag set was definitely a part of the party. Right. You know what I'm saying? You was going to have, you know what I'm saying, your hip-hop set, your bass music, reggae.
Right.
And then it's the slow jam.
The end of the party.
No, it wasn't the end of the party.
See, we had it at the end.
It was the highlight. It was like, I'm going to tell you how it went in Strawberries, which was Luke's first club.
Go ahead.
Like, first grown-up club.
Uh-oh.
You would have your regular, you know what I'm saying? You might come in and it's like your house music, like your Jungle Brothers and In Vogue and all that shit. Then that shit will move into your regular party shit that was, you know, the hits of the time. And then it'll move into the bass music set. Straight out the bass music, they going to go into reggae because you already, you know what I'm saying, bent over and humping each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then straight out the reggae, they go straight to the slow jams
because
you already got a partner.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then you go to slow jams, and they come right back to your live jumping music. You know what I'm saying? And so it was in the middle of the party. Mm-hmm. It was like I said, it was a highlight. Then they might do it at the end, too.
Mm-hmm.
But in the highlight of Luke's was always when they play Whoop-A-Pill, and the whole fucking club was singing that shit. Yeah. The dope boys, dope girls, everybody was just singing that whole fucking
dope
song
boys, like it was dope girls.
It was like an amazing moment. You know what I'm saying? In the middle of the club. It was like it wasn't the biggest like everybody jumping up and down. It was just everybody cooling out, drinking fucking blue iced teas, singing Whoop-A-Pill.
Right. It was a moment. It was a nice little. It was a tender moment.
Yeah. So, like I said, during that era, the R&B slow jam really played an important part to the overall culture. And I, you know, what I'm saying, like I said, I wasn't really into the R&B, but the club joints that they played in the club that you had to learn slow drag to, you had to fucking know.
Yeah, I hear that. I always felt like R&B was the liaison to dating. Like, R&B was when you started dating, that's when you started to kind of, you started to pay attention to more to R&B. Because if you was dating a girl who's, like, into certain shit,
mm-hmm.
it always fascinates me when women are some of the best, like, A&Rs, and, you know, not even meaning to be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just if you, or I guess it goes both ways, but if you're into this girl here and you see her get excited about a certain type of music,
mm-hmm.
you're like, well, I want to know more about this music because it seems like this might be the way in. You know what I mean? But it was a different articulation about why they appreciate it. They could break this shit down. What causes da 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 da? I didn't know a lot of cats that could just break down why that, you know what I mean? Unless... Yeah, I really didn't know a whole lot of cats.
Cause they why was the same your why. they was trying to get some.
Exactly. Exactly. And it was always that moment too where it felt so deliberate too. It felt like such a gear shift. It was like, oh, now it's sexy time.
Right.
Now we about to slow it down. It's always been that heavy hand back of the Quiet Storm. Now it's time to set the mood.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's some heavy shit. Or even if you want to get bass about it, there was the time where rap, like DJs used to put out the fuck tape.
Right.
You know what I mean? That'd be the mixtape you put on when it was, you know what I mean?
It was a tool.
Yeah, it was a tool.
You had to have that tool in the process.
And maybe it was called the fuck tape to make it understandable. Okay, I see the function behind
that. I mean, that was just the general, like, you would make your hip-hop tapes and you would make your fuck tape.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And that shit would sound often very heavy-handed.
You made your fuck tapes?
I had a couple. I bought a couple.
What was on your tape?
Oh, man, all of the same old shit. Everybody else is fucking knocking the boots. Fucking some silk. What was the silk? Fuck. What's the... caught up. What's that shit? Invisible it hang.
Ooh, yeah, buddy.
Is that silk? And I was caught up. That shit, fucking, I mean, all of that heavy shit.
Hey, Vlad, Dominicans have fuck tapes?
Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, our thing
was on yours?
Vulgar.
What was on yours?
I got vulgars.
What you got on
yours? I was a late bloomer, man. I was out of that, man. But, you know, I watched the grown-ups put some stuff on.
What was some of the hits?
They had a song, it was a bachata song.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it was so vulgar. There was one merengue song, and I'll translate it for you. It was called Ese Huevo Quiere Sal.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
And what that basically means is that the man's genitals want, you know, they want some, you know.
Some attention.
They want some,
They say want it, vagina, Brad,
want,
say
you
it.
You know, it wants a little seasoning. It wants attention.
Okay.
But basically saying like this, you know, my genitalia wants attention. That was like the hook of the song.
Hilarious. Who sang that? Who's that?
I'll look into it.
Yeah, put that on the thing. Yeah, we gotta put that out. Put that in the world.
It was awful, man.
What was on your tapes?
My tapes, man.
Go ahead, Vlad. Yeah. Keep going, Vlad.
No, That was it.
I always made my tapes where they were like a good mix of good staple classic shits. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Between the Sheets, and you know what I'm saying? Like, some good old, you know what I'm saying? Maybe some Luther here and there.
Uh-huh.
But then I always, like, I always mixed in some funk with mine, like a sleeper funk joint that I always put on my tapes during a certain era, like the 90 to 92, 3 era.
Go ahead.
Was a Bootsy Collins record called Vanishing Into Our Sleep. And it's just like a mesmerizing ass song.
Okay.
And you know what I'm saying? So it come on, it's just like it's like mesmerizing. So it's like you know what I'm saying? When you get to that particular song, I always put it in the middle of the tape.
Right.
So when you get to that particular song, you're usually already in motion.
Okay.
And it just take the shit to a whole another place because it's not a song that you hear on the radio when you hear like, oh, you know what I'm saying? It was just like some out of the blue ass shit that takes it to a whole another place.
Very expansive.
It very expands the knowledge of it. You know what I'm saying? Your mind go to a whole another, you got to, you know what I'm saying, theater of the mind type shit.
Oh, shit.
So yeah, it was that Bootsy Collins, Vanishing Our Sleep. That shit was, I started the shit off, of course, you know, with Marvin Gaye, like, you know what I'm saying? All of the classics.
The go-to.
Yeah, the classics. So,
let's
you know
get it all.
You know what I'm saying? Now, please don't procrastinate. No need to masturbate. Sexual.
Oh, is that what he?
Oh, Marvin be getting raw.
Marvin let you know. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like that, sexual healing, shit like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, there's some shit out there.
Yeah, but I always throw some funk in there.
Let us know what you put on your fuck tape.
Because the funk genre, is the whole funk genre is just all about fucking. Like damn near all the goddamn songs.
Really?
Push it in the groove. You know what I'm saying? Thighs high. Pull up to my bumper, baby, in your long back limousine. You know what I'm saying? All that shit is about fucking.
Interesting. Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? All that Parliament, you know, she was a freak of the week. You know what I'm saying? All that shit. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, that shit hard.
Yeah. You know what I'm but that's the upbeat shit. You know, but you break it down to their slower joints, and you really get into some nasty talk.
Right.
It's like, you know what I'm saying? You know, gotta have the Prince on there.
Right. Little Adore.
Little Insatiable Adore.
Insatiable. You know what I'm saying? All
right. And Prince got a whole selection of shit that, you know, and they already give Prince the you know what I'm saying? They give him the pass.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So he could run the play for you.
Right.
You just sit back and let Prince do the talking.
Throw that alley-oop.
You know what I'm saying? Because anything you say gonna fuck it up.
Hilarious.
Talk your way out of it.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, listen. Super Bowl is coming up.
No doubt.
Are y'all watching? Who you got? What's your predictions? All of that. Talk to me.
I'm going with Atlanta, man. Because, you know.
Going to Atlanta?
No. It's in Houston.
Oh.
But it's like Super Bowl always have, you know, the personality of the Super Bowl. So Atlanta got probably the blackest fan base in NFL, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then New England probably has the whitest fan base. Even though they got a lot of black fans, they probably have the whitest fan base. So it's like a classic, you know what I'm saying, rivalry type of shit. And then it's going to be in Houston, which is like a black-ass city.
Mm.
So the energy of it is probably going to be real off the chain out there.
Yeah, it should be cool. It should be interesting. Who you got?
I got Atlanta.
Oh, you got it. You did say that.
You know what I'm saying?
You did say that. I was.
And then Tom Brady support Trump.
Right now, that's the
fuck Tom Brady.
That is true. That is true, so man. It's amazing classic. What happens. Yeah,
it's like fucking politics is everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's funny that Atlanta just gonna be a black team no matter what.
Atlanta,
it's gonna be is what it is.
That's a black squad. I mean, and you know what I'm saying, but I'm not going to the Super Bowl this year. I'm not going to Houston. But, you know what I'm saying, I always like being in those environments, Super Bowl, All-Star, you know what I'm saying? Because it brings, like, you know, everybody bring their A-game when they in the market, you know what I mean?
Mm.
All of the, you know, even just going to the mall, it's just a routine to the shit. Everybody get up, go eat,
right.
You know what I'm saying? They have on their freshest, and they, you know what I'm saying, all of the ambassadors from the different cities, whoever the livest people, it's like the Super Bowl of cities, like regular people.
Right.
So you go to the eat,
mm-hmm.
and then you know what I'm saying, you go see that. Then, you know what I'm saying, everybody go shop.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know what I'm saying, everybody get the flex out on who's shopping the most and who's spending the most bread, who brought the cars out, you know what I mean?
Stunt weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the play this week? I mean, are you guys going to parties or are you just going to watch it at home?
Nah, I'm
going to
be home.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it at the crib. I mean, honestly, yeah, I'm going to watch it at the crib, and that's about it. Chill out. I honestly, I could care less.
You know, like this is it's going to be what it's going to be. I would like to see Atlanta win one. That would be cool because I fuck with Atlanta. Tom Brady's a bad motherfucker. I hate the fact that he supports Trump. But I can't deny the fact that motherfucker is like a robot. You know what I mean? Like as bad as I don't really fuck with the Patriots and all of that, but I think the cat, his skill, it transcends all of that. It's undeniable. As much as you hate that motherfucker, I always say beating the Patriots is like when you used to play the computer when you on the video game and you felt like they was cheating, but so for whatever reason they would always be victorious. Like these motherfuckers. It could be cheating.
Could be. It's proven.
Well, it might be proven, but that'd be interesting, too, because that's the whole wrinkle now. They were like, if he wins, Roger Goodell got to hand him the trophy, and what's going to happen in that moment? Ain't nothing going to happen.
Ain't going to happen. He's going to take the trophy and, you know what I'm saying, bringing it home for Trump.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Bringing it home for Trump. Bringing it home for Trump.
Yeah. But, yeah, I might watch some of it and see what it is.
That's hilarious. Woo-hoo! Bring it home for Trump. Making America great again.
You know what I'm saying?
You watching it,
and then they the Patriots too. Like, what better storyline is it for the Make America Great program?
You watching it?
Oh, I'm into the social atmosphere of it, so I haven't gotten invited anywhere yet. But if I get invited to like a little get together, I'll swing by.
You got your own spot. You can throw one.
No, but I don't have I don't have a
TV.
I don't have cable. I just got the apps. I don't have.
You don't need cable. The Super Bowl come on regular TV.
It's I don't
the
have
biggest,
antenna.
Most viewed shit ever.
He don't got no antenna.
Antenna costs $10.
He don't want nobody at the house.
Exactly. All that steam right, mopping
is the shit. You know what I'm saying? I would if I had an antenna, but you know.
You don't have a housewoman, let alone a Super Bowl party.
Anyway.
But I had a freak out having to entertain everybody.
Shit.
Hell no, I'm not doing that.
Well, anyway, where y'all going to be this week outside of watching the Super Bowl?
Let's see here. I will be, when this podcast drops, I'm headlining Flappers at, on Wednesday night. I'll be at the Ice House on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's about it for me.
All right. Where you at, Muhammad?
Man, I'm in New York and Brooklyn. I didn't know what's special until All-Star. And then, shit, we here, man. We be on the Instagram and Mr. Muhammad. We be, you know what I'm saying? I keep saying we're going to be on the Snap at Thorough TV. I'm going to be there. I'm going to show up one day. I've been kind of slacking on my snapping.
Ooh.
But I'll be back straight macking. And then that's it.
There it is. Well, listen, I'm going to be at the Stand tonight when you get this on the 10 o'clock show. You come through, see me there. But until then, you can catch me here. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out.